Bombas has totally re-engineered socks with comfort innovations that add up to a way more comfortable pair of socks. 2 years of R&D led to multiple improvements of the sock design, performance, and comfort. And an arch support system that provides extra support where you need it most, and it feels like a hug around your foot. And Stay Up technology, 133 tension levels were tested to find the perfect tension that's comfortable, stays in place while not being too loose, and never leaves a mark. Plus super soft cotton that you will never want to take off. Best pair of socks ever, bar none. And one pair sold equals one pair donated. I would never tell you to do something that I don't do myself. Bombas are the socks that I wear every single day. I'm wearing them right now, and they are extremely comfortable. And right now, you get 20% off your first order if you go to bombas.com/Rome. That's BOMBAS.com. You'll get 20% off your first order. Bombas.com/Rome. Codename Rome. Best pair of socks ever. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome, back in SoCal, back in the saddle. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. It is very nice to be with you. Tremendous Thursday to you. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you check me out with the old school cans. Rocking the headphones. Why am I doing that? Because I left my other headphones at home. From my travel to New York, which was an amazing trip. Had such a great time back in our CBS Sports Radio studios, hanging out with the CBS fam. Had a really, really good time. I was not in yesterday, sorry about that. But my man Grant Napier was, and I'm sure he was pumped, especially when Bert in Modelo called. I will reset that a little bit later on. All right, lots to get done. Good to be home. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. Use it. Hit me up right now. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Please do that. Hey, do me a favor. Follow me also on Instagram. Do that for me. Follow me on Instagram. I'm going to pump that full of content for you. I spent some time with Dana White, and that was one of the reasons I went back to New York. That was amazing, too. He and I had a Q&A for the Sports Business Journal. And there was a conference in New York City for media and sports. So Dana White and I had a nice sit down. I want to reset that for you, too. Follow me on Twitter. Hit me up on Instagram. Call the program. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interview is set up like this. Coming up in about 10 minutes, I've got a running back for the Green Bay Packers, Ty Montgomery. Top of hour number two, North Texas Mean Green quarterback, Mason Fine. Third hour, NC State football coach, Dave Doran. And we've got a lot of baseball to talk about. Also, episode 55 of the Jim Rome podcast dropped yesterday. David Faraday is getting a ton of love. Ton of love. I'm not surprised at all. He was amazing. And I'll reset that for you, too. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so where do we start? We start with the ALCS. But where do we start with the ALCS? I mean, where do you start with a game like that? That game had everything last night. Mookie Betts nearly making the catch of a lifetime to rob a home run. George Springer going yard. Jackie Bradley Jr. going yard again. And then there was Andrew Benintendi saving the game with a diving catch to preserve that win, 8-6, to give Boston a stranglehold on that series. However, the real name of the game last night was Joseph Henry West. Joe West, Cowboy Joe. I mean, you thought Betts was going to impose his will on that game? You thought JBJ was going to be the ALCS MVP? What about Benintendi? Nope, got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. This is Joe West's series, and you better recognize. In fact, this is Cowboy Joe's world, and we're all just living in it. And my man got to work inserting himself in this series in the bottom of the first last night.
The pitch swinging in a high fly ball, right field. Mookie going back to the fence, jumps, and he can't get it, but he knocks it down. And let's see what the umpire calls. Fan interference, I think, it will be the call by Joe West. Fan interference is the call. The fence is 7 feet high there, and Joe West quickly, the right field umpire, signaled fan interference.
Yeah, so A.J. Hinch coming out to talk to Joe West right now. Mookie made a great effort to get to it.
The ball would have been gone. It was over the fence.
Calling Altuve out.
Yeah, they're going to confer here. This could be a home run. I don't know. This is a very complex call here, and now we're getting the headsets off, and the call is out. He's out. What a break for the Red Sox.
Yeah, you think? Red Sox Radio. So why don't we just go ahead and go to the rule book? What's the call here? Let's go to the rule book. Rule book reads, quote, no interference shall be allowed when a fielder reaches over a fence, railing, rope, or into a stand to catch a ball. He does so at his own risk. However, should a spectator reach out on the playing field side of such fence, railing, or rope and plainly prevent the fielder from catching the ball, then the batsman should be called out for the spectator's interference. End quote. All right, so quite obviously, the question is, where did the contact with the glove occur? If it was in the field, it should be interference, and it's an out. If it was in the stands, it should be a home run. And look, nobody is quicker to bash fans for reaching over the railing than I am. Any fan who does that is a colossal moron and a tool, and it hurts their team. Except I'm not so sure that's what happened in this case. So knowing that, let's run it back one more time quickly.
The pitch swinging in a high fly ball, right field. Mookie going back to the fence, jumps, and he can't get it, but he knocks it down. And let's see what the umpire calls. Fan interference, I think it will be the call by Joe West. Fan interference is the call. The fence is 7 feet high there. The ball would have been gone. It was over the fence.
Calling Altuve out.
Yeah, they're going to confer here. This could be a home run. I don't know. This is a very complex call here, and now we're getting the headsets off, and the call is out. He's out. What a break for the Red Sox.
Right, so if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you're seeing that video. You've probably seen it already. If you're not, you're listening, and then you heard that play-by-play. Did you like that play-by-play? Did you think that was good? Yeah, well, Joe West thinks the Joe West play-by-play is better. And here it goes. This is what Joe West said after the game. He told a pool reporter, quote, here's the whole play. Here's the whole play. He hit the ball to right field. He jumped up to try to make a catch. The fan interfered with him over the playing field. That's why I called spectator interference. End quote. Gotta love that. Because watching it live, it sure didn't look like the fans reached into the field to play. If anything, Betts' glove was going into the stands and it hit the fans. But not according to Cowboy Joe. And can I pause right here for one moment? You know the old adage that if we know an umpire's name, that's a bad sign? Yeah, well, if you're an umpire and you have a nickname, that's an even worse sign. And we don't just know Joe West's name. We know him as Cowboy Joe West. All right, so back to Cowboy Joe West doing what Cowboy Joe West does. Cowboy Joe says the fans reached into the field and interfered with Betts. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your eyes, or are you going to believe Joe West? Joe West says you should believe Joe West. And Jim Rome says if Joe West called it interference, then it probably wasn't. And if Joe West is telling that pool reporter after the game that the replay official said that he was right, then he's probably wrong. And by the way, they didn't say he was right. That would have meant the call was confirmed. They said the call stood, which means they couldn't overturn it. That there was not enough evidence conclusive enough to overturn. But to me, there was. You want evidence. Here's all the evidence you need. Evidence being that since it was Joe West who said that it was not a home run, it probably was. And evidence being that I've got two eyes. Very good eyesight. And it's pretty clear to me that ball was over the yellow line and in the stands when the contact was made. Again, that's the issue. Was contact made in the field of play or was it made in the stands? And to me and most everybody else who was not a Red Sox honk thought that ball was in the stands. Except the powers that be felt that they did not have a definitive angle to overturn it. And the reason they didn't have a definitive angle was because the outfield railing was blocked by a security guard who was leaning in so he could see the play. So what I'm saying is this. The Astros get jammed. If Joe West ruled it a home run, it would have stood as a home run. But instead, he ruled it as spectator interference, which made it an out. And that out cost the Astros two runs in the first and maybe more. To say nothing of the momentum of starting the game by tying it up in the bottom of the first. Oh, because in case you forgot, the final margin of error, victory, was of course two runs. Yeah, but at least that wasn't an important game or anything. And then there's the game itself. And Astro fans, I completely get why you're bent today. I totally understand. And we'll get to that, too. I'm not saying that's why you lost that game. I'm saying you got jammed. And I'm saying that that ball, to me, was clearly over the line and in the stands. And if that's where the contact was made, then that should have been a home run. And not only that, at the very least, you've got Altuve standing on second base, but that's not the way that was. I'm not going to say it's going to cost them that game. I'm going to say it hurt them a lot.
Thanks, Joe.
And it's too bad that we're starting the show by talking about the umpire. Bottom line, tough enough to beat a team that's won 108 games, but nearly impossible when Cowboy Joe West is in the middle of it making a call like that. 1-800-636-8686. Good call or bad call? Where do you come out? Is that one the Cowboy got right, or did he get it wrong? Batman. I missed that while I was gone.
I'm Batman.
Wasn't getting any of that in New York City. But I got everything else, including cheesecake from Rich Ackerman. Had a good time. This email says, "Hey, Jim, it's crazy to us that Joe Southwestern Omelet ruled that home run in the first as, quote, spectator interference. That's not a rule in our book. Regards, Swingers." Mike in Buffalo, helping him. Or me putting scotch tape on the bottom of my coworker's mouse and watching them try to figure it out for a half hour. Yeah, Mike, you're not helping them. You're hurting them. And you shouldn't be talking about Joe Southwestern Omelet, man.
And you shouldn't be talking about it on the radio, man.
Dear Jim, everyone marveled at my game-saving dive and incredible stretch for the ball to preserve victory over the Astros. I was just thankful that I got to live out my childhood dream of making the big play with a huge game on the line. Sincerely, the spectator who pummeled, crushed, and unlaced Mookie Betts' Rawlings outfielder's glove. Signed, Denlesks, lip-reading assistant to the Astros dugout spy. Wore Joe West blazing speed that enabled him to make a fan interference call from nearly 390 feet away. There's that. There is that. I mean, not only do I think that he didn't make the right call, I also think that he was not in position to make that call, clearly. Nowhere near where he had to be to make that call. But then again, this ain't Cowboy Joe West's first rodeo, is it? Hey-o! And then there's that issue of would Betts have made the catch or not. Well, if anybody could have, it would have been him. I'm going to argue that as freaky as he is, as unbelievable as he is. I mean, my man's got a vert of like 70. And that he was even in position to make that catch speaks to how good he is. But was he going to make the catch? I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say he was. I wouldn't say he wasn't. I wouldn't say my name is Tom Jim Sula. Dear Jimmy, were you out yesterday because of vertigo? Signed, John Gruden. Casey in New Hampshire, more chunk, waking up at 3:17 a.m. because he wants more time to eat. No, it was not vertigo. You know what that was, actually? It's kind of whack, I guess. I took the day off because if I don't use my vacation, I lose my vacation, right? And I knew everything would be fine because Grant Napier was here. And everything was fine until Bert called, which I will reset a little bit later on. All right, additionally today, I want to talk more about that game, aside from the call, but the game itself. I've got a second part to that. I want to get into the Dodgers and Milwaukee. Dodger fan, last we talked about you. How hard were you gripping? On Tuesday, I'm in New York City, and I'm talking about how that atmosphere could not have been any more dead than it was at Dodger Stadium. Dead, flat. How do you roll out like that? They were down 2-1. Man, it looked bad. And then all of a sudden, the script flipped completely. Clayton Kershaw coming up big yesterday. They won. He had to have it. They had to have it. And now they go back to Milwaukee. And this thing looks totally different. That's coming up. My favorite month of the year, Brocktober. I will get into what I mean by that. And I mentioned David Faraday was the guest of this week's episode of the Jim Rohn podcast, and he was just amazing. I mean, literally amazing. I want to reset that conversation because a lot of you are talking about it on Twitter. When we come back, we talk Packers football. Ty Montgomery joins me on the program. That's next segment. in sports. There are smart moves, and then there are some moves that are not so smart. As an example, getting to practice on time, very smart. Parking in the coach's spot, pretty stupid. The same is true when you're hiring. There are smart ways and not so smart ways to get things done. Like job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes, that's not at all smart. But posting a job on ZipRecruiter and letting them find the right candidates for you, very smart. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes. It identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then actively invites them to apply. This way you get qualified candidates fast. This is why it's rated number one by employers in the U.S. based on the Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with at least 1,000 reviews. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. I use the service myself. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ROME. If you're looking for a smart way to find the right talent for your team, and we all are, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Good to be with you on this Thursday. And always good to talk Packers football. Especially if it's during a bye week and a guy's making time for it. We are joined right now by a running back for the Packers. Fourth season with Green Bay. Four carries, couple of receptions for 22 yards, and a touchdown in Monday's win over San Francisco from 2015 to 2017. He racked up 203 touches for more than 1,400 yards from scrimmage. He was an All-American at Stanford. He was the 94th pick overall in 2015. The Packers are 3-2-1 on the year. They're at the Rams on October 28th. We are joined by running back Ty Montgomery. Ty, it's great to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, Ty. Listen, you're on a bye week, so I really appreciate this, and I do want to talk to you about that game against the 49ers, but we need to start with the really important stuff. Did I see you tweeting a pic from a Williams Chicken's drive-thru today? What was your order? How good did it taste, and how'd that go for you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you did. Every time I'm back in Dallas, I love Williams Chicken, and I had to stop there, and I always get me an 8-piece dark and a couple of fries, and maybe some corn fritters or something. And it's always good eating. We don't have any chicken places like that in Green Bay.
No, I hear you. I see you working, so that's good. It's always good to get that in and get that in during the bye week, and especially after a win like that. It's been a couple of days since that comeback win over San Francisco. So when you look back on that game, what sticks out to you the most about it?
It felt good as an offense to finally start putting the ball in the end zone, especially when we needed it. Field goals are always good, but, we always want to score touchdowns. And, it was a little frustrating the past couple of weeks to put up, large amounts of yards and, not really putting up any touchdowns. So that felt really good. And it felt really good to just come out with a win. Again, we had to have another last-second drive. But, it seems to be that's what we do now. That's what we're good at.
We're talking to Ty Montgomery. You guys have been there before, and it seems to me that you're really calm in that situation. Really quickly, on your touchdown, San Francisco did score first, and then you capped off a drive with a 2-yard TD reception to tie that game at 7. What did you see on that play?
I'm sorry, say that again. I couldn't hear you.
What did you see on that play when you scored that TD? How'd that play look to you, and what did you see?
I think McCarthy called it, like a new wrinkle we added in, and it was something that, we were kind of talking about, and once we broke the huddle and we ran out there, I saw some discombobulation amongst the defense, and seems to me they didn't really know how to line up to it. And, the guys in front of me, I believe it was Mercedes and Rob and Lance, and, those guys basically did a great job of just getting in front of bodies and allowing me to just walk in untouched.
Ty Montgomery joining us because of some discombobulation on the defense. I like that. So late in the game, as you mentioned, you guys come back once again. 49ers played well, and they were leading late in the fourth. Aaron Rodgers ties the game with a huge pass to Davante Adams. Then Kevin King comes down with that interception with 67 seconds left to give you a chance to win. But you're on your own 10-yard line, Ty. Rodgers said that when that drive started, he was thinking overtime. Were you thinking the same thing?
Absolutely not. I was thinking, let's go down and score. And, once I heard the run call, I wanted to score. I wanted to take it to the house, walk off, go home. I was thinking, this is cold. I want to get home to my son. I don't want to play overtime. Let's not make this bye week any shorter than it already is. So I was trying to score. And it felt pretty good, you know, once I was able to get around the edge, get a good 15 yards and get out of bounds. And, you know, next thing I know, the play calling is, you know, just like, all right, let's go score.
Ty Montgomery, my guest. I'm glad you mentioned your son. I'm going to ask you about him in 1 minute. But as you point out, you start that drive off. You have that 14-yard gain on first down. Again, what did you see on that play, and how important was it to get that kind of chunky yardage as quickly as possible?
You know, the one thing I was thinking is, you know, we called an inside zone run, and, you know, I was scanning the defense, and I was looking at the front, and the three technique caught my attention, and just watching film and the way those guys set blocks and try to two gap sometimes. I tried to be a little patient with him, and I was just going to go, you know, whichever direction he gave me. And he kind of peeked outside and then jumped back inside, and it allowed me to get outside, which is, you know, really what I wanted to do, because I wanted to get yards and get out of bounds. That's what I was thinking. Otherwise, I was thinking I got to take this thing up the middle and I got to go fast and get as much as I can so we can try to cross the ball. And once I was able to get outside, I was just trying to get chunks and chunks, and I wanted to score, but, you know, I started to get cornered and boxed in, so I just stepped out of bounds.
Packers running back Ty Montgomery, my guest. Ty, because you've been in this situation so many times before, is there a certain calmness to the offense that we've done this before, we can do it again? Can you slow everything down because you've been in that situation so many times?
I think so. You know, it seems like we've done it so many times now, just like you said, and you know, we have Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback, and obviously he's really freaking good at what he does, and he's really good in those moments. So, you know, I think everyone on the offense is comfortable in those situations, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Just don't want to have to be in those situations too often.
Ty Montgomery is my guest. What about Mason Crosby? I mean, knowing what a rough game he had the week before and how much heat he took for that, how good was it to see him come through with the game winner the way he did?
Oh man, I was pumped. I was really happy for him. You know, I didn't have any concerns or worries because I know how good he is. Everybody has an off game, but for him to be able to come back from the Detroit game, and he made some big kicks for us, and you know, then to end up getting the game winner, it was just perfect.
You know, Ty, looking at your game from 2015 to 2017, you averaged more than 6 yards per touch, which is better than guys like David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott. So how are you able to put yourself in a position, both mentally and physically, that no matter where they line you up, you're going to make an impact in pretty much every time you touch the ball?
I think that's just the mindset I have. No matter what it is, no matter what I'm asked to do, no matter where I'm at on the field, I just want to be productive and I want to make plays. You know, it feels like to me the only thing that matters in this league is production. And, you know, even if it's in small amounts, you know, I'm not getting a lot of touches, you know, splitting a lot of time with other two really good backs, and, you know, and that's just the way it is. I mean, those guys deserve their time too. And we just all need to be productive whenever we get the chance. And that's what I want to do. I want to be efficient. I want to be productive, whether I'm catching the ball, whether I'm running the football, breaking tackles, returning kicks, or, you know, rushing punts. It doesn't matter what it is. I just want to be productive. Start fast, stay focused, and find a way to finish. I learned in college.
Ty Montgomery joining us. Something you learned in college. You know, last time you were on, we talked about how much fun you were having as a father. You mentioned your son a few moments ago, like, I don't want to play OT. I want to get to that bye week and spend some time with my son. Now that we're a little later on in the season, how much fun are you having still being a father, and what's it like to have that kind of time with your son during a bye week?
Oh, I love it. And I'm enjoying every moment of it. Having him back in Dallas, taking him to see his family, you know, we're going to go to the ranch, and he's going to be able to come out to the ranch with us, and just, I'm loving it. I think I did this last time. Whenever I started talking about him, I started getting speechless because it's just one of those feelings that's tough for me to explain. But I just look into his eyes every single day, and I see his smile and his personality, and I just absolutely adore him.
All right, so for those who don't know, how old is he now?
He is 4.5 months now.
Hmm. I'm telling you, it's amazing. If you have that kind of perspective already, and you have that kind of feeling already at 4.5 months, you will not believe how much better it gets. And as he gets older and does more and develops that personality and you can interact, it is the greatest thing ever. It is the best thing ever, I'm telling you.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I get a lot of advice, and you know, you don't want to rush anything because you're going to miss these days. So I'm trying my best, you know, to stay away from the, oh, I can't wait until he can do this, until he can do that. But I'm definitely looking forward to those days.
Packers are at the Rams on October 28th. They're coming on, or they're in a bye week right now. Green Bay is 3-2-1. Hey, Ty, I appreciate you, especially to come on the show during a bye week. It means a lot to me. Ty, thanks so much. Great to have you back.
No problem. Thank you. For some reason, I love you guys. I just can't stay away from you. I love it.
Hey, Ty, for some reason, we love you too. Nice job. Really appreciate you, and I appreciate you saying that too. Good jungle karma. It's a good Stanford man too right there. He's got a couple of my favorite things going for him. One, he's a Stanford man. Two, he's playing professionally in one of my new favorite states ever, Wisconsin. And the Packers coming from behind to get it done. So his son's now 4.5 months, and he's on social. Pictures of the baby. The baby's, like, adorable. And you can see how much it means to him to be a father. And I said, you know, it changes so much. Like, for instance, I've got a staff of younger XR4 TIers. They've got babies. They've got babies on the way. I mean, Alvin DeLauro is a virtual expert at babies and making them. Good job, dude.
Dude, now.
But I remember when Jake, our older son, was born, and we were waiting, you know, like every parent, for that first word. What's he going to say? And so I'm going to work, and I'm grinding out, and Janet stopped working when she had children, when we had children, so she could be a stay-at-home mom. And by the way, stay-at-home moms, toughest gig in the world. Number one, they don't stay at home. Janet's running around all day, every day. And two, I wouldn't trade this job for her job because her job's much more difficult than my job. But Janet's spending time with Jake, and Jake's growing, and Jake starts to enunciate and communicate. And he's like, dad, 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 dad. And Janet's like getting wounded. Like, how come he never says mama? How come he doesn't say mom? I'm with him all day, every day. Why? Why? Why is it dad, 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 dad? Like, she was getting upset. Like, it bothered her a great deal. And we're still waiting for his first official word. It's just dada, dada, dada. One day, he's crawling around, trying to get up. And Janet says, hi, honey. Hi, Jake. And he looks at her and he says, hi, Janet. I said, there you go. There is your recognition. He hit her with a hi, Janet. Blasted her with that. I said, are you good now? He knows who you are. He's talking to you. Quote, hi, Janet. I was waiting for Logan to pop out with, yo, what's up, Pimp in the Box? Yo, V-Smack. What up, playa?
Rogan Loam.
When we come back, we're open until the top of the hour. I love Ty Montgomery saying, I don't know what it is, man. I just love you guys. Jungle Karma. Game-recognizing game, Ty. I love his game, too. He's made himself so valuable, and he laid that out perfectly. In that league, the only thing that matters is production. And every time he touches the ball, something good happens to the Packers. When we come back, I want to talk about the Dodgers and what happened yesterday while I was gone and more. But first up, here is Ace.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS's Super Bowl season continues on Sunday with a tripleheader. A tripleheader first, live from London, Tennessee, taking on the LA Chargers. Then you've got Tom Brady and the Pats coming off that big win over Kansas City, going up against Khalil Mack and the Bears, and then chase that with a big NFC Eastern showdown between the Cowboys and Redskins. Wake up with the NFL today at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. Start your full day of football on CBS. It is a monster day. Monster day. All right, really quickly, getting caught up on a few things. This email says, hey, Rome, I'm coming to L.A. next weekend for the Packer game, and I'm looking for a rental car. Is Hawks Camry available? Signed, no one, ever. John in Wisconsin, war paying your vehicle registration. War the Pack, handing L.A. their first loss. That's after the bye week. Rome, we think that was a great look for Joe West and Major League Baseball to call fan interference on Jose Altuve's home run last night. Signed, people who sing along to the national anthem at sporting events. War IRA in Long Beach getting dismantled on air by Grant Napier yesterday. Hold up. My man Napes had himself a day. Unlike almost any guest host has ever had a day, starting with that on-air brawl that he got into with IRA.
Don't call. Hey, let me.
Where's your club, bro? Where's your club?
Where's my club? Really?
They're in the Bahamas, right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hey, Craig, let me tell you something right now. Hey, let me tell you something. When Clayton Kershaw wins a World Series and pitches good, can give me a call. Don't be coming on the air and telling me how great Clayton Kershaw has been in the postseason, because everybody knows he has not been great in the postseason.
He was, but I'll take my chances with Kershaw over Wade Miley or whatever the garbage that the Brewers are throwing out there today, and I still got my club. Yeah, they're not playing up to their standards, not playing up to their potential, but you know what? I bet they do today.
Look at Napes V.I. Ray. Just two heavyweights standing in the middle of the ring, trading bombs. Haymakers. Where's your club? So that happened. That happened yesterday. Grant Napier coming in here and throwing down. Giving Iray the hands. And Iray swinging on Napes. This email says, well, well, well. Look who showed up back to work today. Must be nice to take a vacation in the middle of the week. Good Lord. What are the suits at CBS paying you for anyway? Signed, bitter clones who resent that you have a better life than they do. Tony from Iowa City, war Brad in Corona, cracking Grant Napier's skull yesterday. All right, so Napes v. Iray was the undercard. Napes v. Brad was the main event. Now, just to go back very quickly, as many of you know, I was in New York City on Tuesday. What most of you don't know and all of you don't care about is how late that I was there and how late I got back in to Southern California. Like, middle of the night late. So while I admit it was not ideal for me to take off yesterday, quote, in the fall book, during the NFL season, I understand that. It was not ideal. Not the best thing ever. But once again, if I don't use that vacation time, I lose that vacation time. Plus, while it was not ideal, I knew that I had a pro's pro coming in for me. Grant freaking Napier. Nothing to worry about with Napes in the house. Love this guy. And I love the job that he does for the jungle. Nobody's been doing it as well for as long as he has. Now, that being said, I got to be honest. I don't remember the last time that I had to circle back and reset a moment from a guest host a day before. No disrespect to any of the guest hosts. This is not an easy show to do. It has never been an easy show for guest hosts to do, and especially now that it's a simulcast. Now it's a TV show, too. So there's a whole other element to it, another dynamic. This is not an easy show to host if you don't do it every single day the way I do. But usually when we do this, they come in, I don't worry about them, and I move on. And then I come back the next day and I don't reference it because that's 2 days of content that I have. I double down on the content when I miss a day. Except, as you're starting to get the idea, some things happened yesterday while I was not here. And especially something that I would have never believed had I not heard it on tape. Did the four-time Smackoff champ, Brad in Corona, really call in yesterday? Did Brad and Corona not only call this show outside of a Smackoff, but did he call this show on a day when I was not here? Did that really happen? Did a guy that I hear from maybe twice a year call a guest host? And did he do so under the alias of Bert in Modelo? Bert in Modelo. And did he do it in order to run personal appearance smack on somebody that I handpick to run the jungle while I'm gone? Did all of that really happen? Like I said, I would have never believed it until I heard it.
Let's get to Bert. Bert, you're on with Grant Napier. Go ahead.
Actually, call screener got the name wrong. It's not Bert. It's four-time Smackoff champion Brad in Corona, but whatever. Listen, Alvin, please cut off Napier's manual buzzer authority and give me like 2 minutes alone with this guy so I can properly welcome him to my jungle. Napier, buddy, I did some Googling on you right now, and I have to say your wife is incredibly good-looking. What a smoke show of a wife you have, Grant.
I would definitely concur with that.
Like,
that's one thing
tell
we agree
me this
with.
This woman is legally blind, or you're some sort of hypocrite.
Hey, listen, when I asked her to marry me, she said yes. The first response was, what is the name of your seeing eye dog? So, yes, she is blind.
Does she owe you money, Grant Napier? She's got to be attracted to you for something other than your looks and or talent. Hey, serious question, though, for you, and you can answer this when I'm done. What kind of dimly lit bar lighting did you have them install in your house to fool your wife into thinking you two are in the same league all these years. Like, don't get me wrong. It's a genius move what you're pulling off here, having a job where you have to get up and leave the house when it's still dark outside. Then you work until it's dark outside again. Then you come home to your flattering bar lighting and your really good-looking wife who's disproportionately more attractive than you are. I mean, I'm not saying you're ugly, Grant. I'm just saying I feel sorry for the makeup people at CBS this morning. You're probably not the best canvas for an artist to paint on, if you know what I mean. These people are literally putting lipstick on a pig when you walk into the studio, Grant. Thoughts and prayers of the makeup team at CBS. Best case scenario, guys, is when you're done with him, he looks like what would happen if Ron Howard got a bunch of Botox. So this is pretty much as good as it gets. How did you land this beautiful woman, Grant? You must have $10 million in a crank the size of that microphone you're talking
about. This guy. Yeah, I guess that's Brad, all right. That is Brad. That is Brad doing Brad things. Absolutely eviscerating anybody and everybody before getting in some kamikaze line about a crank the size of a microphone. Freaking Brad. Dude, what has gotten into you? First Hawk, now Napes. I mean, Hawk's dead keto body isn't even cold yet. And Brad is swinging back through to dig another hole in the ground for Napes. What's going on with Brad? I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this dude. I mean, why is he doing this? You know the answer to that question rhetorically. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can. And Brad can. I mean, is that what this is? Is it just that easy for this guy? Is he now just flexing? Or is this the new version of the champ that we haven't seen before? And by that, I mean two non-smack-off calls in the last 2 weeks. And now I have to wonder if I can ever take another day off ever again. Because it's probably not right for me to leave this post if it means a funeral for every one of my guest hosts. All people that I think very highly of, especially Grant Napier. And with the holidays coming up, I'm legit worried that Brad might be coming back to fill up his own personal cemetery. Brad, listen, you know I like you. You're one of, if not the best to ever do it. In fact, it actually came up on my morning hit with Dan Cilio on 97.3 The Fan in San Diego. Cilio said, I think this guy Rome is a top three clone. And my response was, my dude's not only a top three clone, he's not only the best caller in the history of this show, he's probably the best caller in the history of radio, in any format, any genre, at any time. The guy's that good, and I've got that much respect for him. But, no one is bigger than the game, not even the BIC. And the rules that apply to everybody else also apply to him. I don't care how many smack-offs he's won. And one of the only rules of this show is personal appearance. Smack is not show fodder. And the BIC, legendary as he is, called in yesterday and straight called Grant Napier ugly to his face. You can't do that. He just said, literally, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. Literally. Hey, Brad, you can't do that. I mean, I'd prefer that if a guest host and a pro like Napes at that goes to all the trouble he went to host his show, I'd prefer that you not light that cat on fire. Now, Napes knows where he is. He knows that the substitute teacher is going to catch some. That's fine. But doing what Brad did to him is not fine.
Best case scenario, guys, is when you're done with him, he looks like what would happen if Ron Howard got a bunch of Botox. So this is pretty much as good as it gets. How did you land this beautiful woman, Grant? You must have $10 million in a crank the size of that microphone you're talking.
Broham, you are the champ. And yes, probably the best to ever do it. The best there ever will be. But I can't have you doing that. Number one, it is prohibited. Number two, if every single guest host knows that you're coming for him and will do them dirty like that, no one's going to sit in this chair. And if nobody sits in this chair, I never get another day off. Bert in Modelo. You're lucky he even performs for you bastards.
You're lucky he even performed for you bastards.
Leave Napier alone! Freaking Brad. Come on, Brad. This is the last thing I expected on my day off. But then again, why am I surprised? Is this not the same guy that ran himself in Smackoff 23 when it looked like he might wire the field and win? And then come back for Smackoff 24 with a couple of Canadians on his banana hammock. So maybe this is par for the course for the champ. For Brad. For Bert. For Barry. For Ben. For whatever the hell his name is. Hey, Ben? Barry? Bert? Brad? Dude, stop wrecking my guest hosts. Stop wrecking my days off. I've earned them, bro. I intend on taking as many of them as I can. But you're not helping them. You're hurting them, Bert. And you shouldn't be doing that on the radio, Barry.
Please.
Leave Napes alone! Bert and Modelo. You see what he did there? Brad and Corona, Bert and Modelo. Napes, good job. Brad. Brad, come on, man. Hour number two, straight ahead. When we come back, Mason Fine joins us, and then open phones right after that. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.